Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast, episode 12. I am your host, Pete Castanis, and this program is brought to you by Starbeat Presents What's Happening. Here is a commercial from 1981.
Starbeat presents What's Happening.
Through April 19th, Putting on the Ritz on Butterfield Road, 1 mile east of Highland Avenue, Oakbrook, features top live entertainment with never a cover. Jamet, Monday through Thursday, Windjammer, Friday and Saturday at the grand opening of In and Around, 10235 West Grand Avenue, Franklin Park. The Saints and Sinners in Willow Springs features a 10-man male dancer extravaganza Wednesday, plus a special Easter party Saturday. Classic Rock with Red Muldoon and Air Guitar Competition Thursdays at Eric the Red, 3300 West 111th Street, Chicago. A $2 million unbelievable intergalactic robot show at Tobia's, 6020 West Belmont, Chicago, Wednesday, April 22nd. The Vineyard, 75th and Cass Darien, presents The Outside Chance, plus Wednesday's Chicken and Ribs, All You Can Eat, $4.95. The Ship's Rail Turtle Trot at 154th and Calumet Expressway in the Dalton Lodge with $250 weekly cash prize, Mondays. This is Steve Cronin. For more What's Happening information, call the Starbeat dictaphone at 948-8800.
And I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial. I remember watching it on TV when I was in high school. And after that, when I attended Daly College on the southwest side, South Pulaski Road, it's still there as far as I know. Anyway, thank you for joining me. I'm Pete Castanis. I'm your host for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, episode 12. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and my other social media accounts, and also on my blog at vanishedchicagoland.blog. Okay, today we're going to be talking about a few things I posted so far this week on my Facebook page. And the first thing we'll talk about is Wags Restaurants. Now, Wags is still remembered by everyone, and it's kind of like Denny's, which is still here, but it was owned by the company Walgreens, and it was a chain of casual dining, family restaurants, and they were all over the Chicagoland area, and they were open mostly at 24 hours a day, so you can have anything to eat in the morning, during the day, or after midnight, whenever time you were hungry. So they were about pretty much a lot of them through in Chicago, as I mentioned before. And it started in the 1970s. I don't know exactly when, but I posted a photo recently. There was one that opened at the Apparel Center in Chicago, I believe at Merchandise Mart. And it was around 1976, so I think that's when it started. And then the couple of places that I went to was near my old neighborhood at 79th and Cicero in the Scottsdale neighborhood. Another place was at Addison and right near WGN Studio. I think Addison and Ashland, yeah, or like by the Kennedy. At the time, I was going to DeVry Institute of Technology during the 1980s, and I remember one time it was close to graduation. We finished our final exams, my class, that is, and a couple of classmates suggested we go eat there, and I've never been there before, so I said, okay. And we went there. It was located in Addison, and it was very nice. You know, food was good. A lot of people remembered their specific favorite of eating there. And it was open at 24 hours a day, and just like the rest of the other locations. And like I said before, it was just like Denny's. It was very good. And a lot of people remembered it fondly today. And you can still find menus, kids menus, anything on eBay or any auction sites on the web. I went out of business in 1991, which is a shame. I wish it stayed, but I think it was bought by Shoney's, and Shoney's replaced the Wags restaurant, and I never went to Shoney's, so it wasn't here very long, so that's a shame. So some have been converted to IHOP restaurants. They're still around, which is fine. So that's all I know about Wags. And let's see what else we talk about. Today, also, I want to talk about that something I did not post it, but it was something belated, a belated anniversary. Last year was the 60th anniversary of the debut of the Flintstones. And the reason I chose that to speak about is I remember the memories of watching that wonderful show, and I still watch it from time to time. But the first time I saw it was on Channel 9, the reruns. The show ran from 1960 to 1966 for 6 years, and then it went into syndication at WGN in the fall of 1967. And the first time I saw the show was probably around 69 or 70, when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And the reruns continued to air on Channel 9 for many, many years. And I remember during when I was in grade school, Frazier Thomas of Garfield Goose, the host, he hosted the Flintstones, and that was strange because he talked about, I don't remember exactly, he described like each episode, and I remember he was at a studio and he had all the heads, disembodied heads of all the characters, you know, Fred, Wilma, Betty, and Barney. I think Dino was there too. And that was enjoyable to watch, and he made you feel comfortable, you know, explain the episodes and then you will watch the show. I still find it hilarious, and it's great. And they show all these gadgets, all the animals that are being gadgets in the house, like a dishwasher, garbage disposal, phonograph player, the radio. They would have a bird in there. That's fun. Who could forget like famous things that happened on the Flintstones? And then, you know, when Fred was riding his Flintmobile, I think that's what it's called, but in order to start his car, he would run with his feet, and then that would get the car going, even though it had gas. You know, they did have gas stations, and I remember they used the elephants to use their trunks to fill up your car gas. There were so many others, gadgets and appliances that they use, and I love the show. I still do. Right now, the longest animated series is The Simpsons. I'm not a big Simpson fan. I like it, but it's okay. Not to put down any fans, but it is a good show. It's still entertaining, but I'm a diehard Flintstones fan, and I remember when Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles came out. That was a big hit. It's still around. And I remember the commercials on TV. And let's see. So I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, so the show, right, it was currently running on MTV. Not MTV, excuse me, MeTV. And I just read they're going to take it off the air. And, well, it'll still be on air, but it was on every day at 6 o'clock. So people like, and because the show was aired primetime during its heyday in the 60s. So, right now the Blu-ray has been released. I haven't bought it yet. I will buy it, see how that looks. And I heard it just looks awesome. Looks beautiful. So I intend to buy that soon. And, I was going to do a story about the anniversary of the Flintstones on my blog, but I kept putting it off, but someday I will. So we'll see what happens. Okay. The next thing I will discuss is, just a moment, I will tell you what is next. Because there's a couple, I want to thank people for their comments this week of posting of my posts, and they enjoy it. Okay. Next thing I want to talk about is something I totally forgot. Excuse me. It's the Greyhound Post House Cafeteria. I never knew that the Greyhound bus station that was once located at Randolph Street and Clark Street had a restaurant. And I found a menu, and it's from 1953. I think that's when that was its grand opening, and it looked beautiful. And I'm reading a couple items on the menu, and they had like appetizers, soup, oyster bisque, Parisienne. Sounds good. Not a big oyster fan. They also had baked ham, spaghetti, hot beef sandwiches, roast beef, corned beef. For kids, they had peanut butter sandwich, chicken salad sandwich, and a cup of soup. And for desserts, they had Tutti Frutti shortcake. I would like to see that. And pie or cake, jello or ice cream. So, I don't know when the bus station closed. I think it's located now on West Harrison Street near the Chicago Circle campus. The only time I went there is my family and I the bus drove us to DeKalb. It was my brother's godparents' house. They moved there and we visited there. So we took the bus. We didn't drive at the time and it was nice, you know. And it didn't take very long to get there. So I don't remember where the bus stopped and how we got picked up. I don't remember that at all. And, you know, because it happened in 72, 73, and it was very little. And so that was the only time I rode a Greyhound bus. Greyhound's still around. A lot of people, I don't know if people still use, you know, to go on vacations. It's reasonable, but, you know, you have to sit there a long time, you know, but at least you see the countryside when you are being ridden in there. So that sounds nice. Okay. Another thing I want to talk about is something else I did not post is something called the TV Forecast Magazine, which was a predecessor to TV Guide. About a couple years ago, I created a video and I put together all the covers that were in circulation. And the magazine started in May 1948. And at the time, there were two TV stations. And I think one was WGN and the other one was WBKB, I believe, which was Channel 4, which was WBBM later on. It's kind of crazy history of that. It was called WBKB Channel 4 CBS. Excuse me. Then there were just two TV stations, and on the cover of the first issue was the Chicago Cubs. And I think it was in May, and I think that's when they first aired the baseball games there, which is Chicago Cubs. I don't know when the White Sox aired. I think it came later on. And anyway, the magazine was published here in Chicago. And let's see, it was publishing in the basement classroom of Abbott Hall at Northwestern University campus in Evanston. So they, you know, the funny story, it says here they didn't have any money to bound their first issue. So they used staplers borrowed from the professors. So they didn't have their own office supplies. So for the past months, if you subscribe, they would send it to your home. The price of the magazines were 15 cents. And then it ran until March of 1953. Then TV Guide bought them. And the first issue of TV Guide was in April 1953 with Lucille Ball from I Love Lucy with a picture of her newborn son, Desi Arnaz Jr., which last year I finally obtained a copy of it. It's not in great shape, but I got a copy. I always wanted it since I was a little boy. And I got it, and I read through all the program listings, and it's very interesting what programs were on, what programs were on local stations like WGN, WBKB, and WNBQ, which was Channel 5, and then later on turned to WMEQ. So I said previously I created a video, and I placed all the covers, and there were a lot. So that I made it like a movie. So you have to, if you see it on YouTube under my name, Picastas, you would find it, and you'll see all the covers in chronological order. And there was one, I think one issue I couldn't find, so I had to make a copy of it. And I think it was in September 1951. And then after I published the video, I did find one online. So so maybe I'll re-edit the video and place it there. We'll see about that. So a lot of famous people were on the covers. There was Howdy Doody, Kukla Fran and Ali, Gene Autry. Some have appeared many times on the covers. There was Arthur Godfrey. There was Mary Hartline from Super Circus. A lot of celebrities, local celebrities, national celebrities. I Love Lucy was featured maybe a couple times, sometimes with her husband. And other TV shows, I remember, was Eve Arden on Armis Brooks. And I think Jack Webb from Dragnet. So they're collectibles now. I think the first one is very rare, from 1948 in May. And I would like to get that, but the last time I looked, it was cost like about $1,000. So it's out of my price range. Well, you never know. Someday I might buy it. So that was interesting. And it wasn't fancy like TV Guide. Now TV Guide is published biweekly. And I still buy it because I love doing the crossword puzzles. I did that ever since I was a kid. And I have a few collectibles of TV Guides in the probably in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And I also collected TV Guides that were very personal to me. Like, for instance, I have one for my birthday, my brother's birthdays. When my mother, my mom and dad got married. And my mother, when my mother came to America in 1962, and I got an issue of that. And hopefully I want to, there's one I want to get. It's when the blizzard of 1967 hit Chicago, because there was a lot of coverage of the blizzard. I want to see what shows were on. And I also have the one where President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and they had, the issue was published already, but I'm looking at the programs on when he was shot and killed. And the next day they had full TV coverage on all TV stations, but they interrupted all the programming. So I have what was supposed to be aired that day, which was cool. Okay. So let's see what else we'll talk about. Okay, yesterday I posted a photo of the Ivanhoe Theater, and it was also a restaurant. I have a little history of that. It's it was located at 3000 North Clark Street in Chicago. It was also known as the Ivanhoe Castle or building, restaurant, whatever. And the restaurant ran from 1920 to 1975. And it, according to the history of this, it was a speakeasy. And I think Al Capone, I don't know if he ran it or he just visited there, but that was pretty interesting like that. And the theater was added in 1966. So I never been there. And I heard that when they had the theater, there were some famous celebrities that the dinner theater there. And that would have been cool. And then it also ran many productions of local theater companies, like, for example, Steppenwolf, Victory Gardens. And it was there for a long, long time. And the place is still there, but now it's a Binney's liquor store. So maybe one day I'll go visit there just to check it out. Maybe there's something. I know the outside still looks like the castle. But inside, I'm sure it's been redone. So, and also, I mentioned the catacombs that were downstairs. I'm not very familiar with that, but they said it's real cool down there. And from people what I've heard, they said the food over there was wonderful. It really was kind of medieval, just like the one at I forgot the name of the place, the one in Schaumburg, the medieval. I forgot what it's called because I've never been there. And they just recently opened. It reminds me of a restaurant near my old neighborhood on the southwest side called Royal Castle, and that was located like 85th and Cicero. I was there for a long time. And from what I've gathered, a lot of people liked the place, and it was very, very nice. Okay, so that will be all for today. I'm glad you joined me. I sound a little hoarse. Maybe I do with the microphone, the headphones. So I really enjoyed this episode, and thank you for joining me. I will publish it later on today on my social media accounts and my blog at danishchicagoland.blog. And hopefully you can tune in to the next episode. It'll probably be this weekend for episode 13. And now this is Pete Castanis, your host for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. And I hope everyone will have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.